Praise the Lord. Appreciate seeing everyone this morning. I know it's not one of those nice sunny days, but it's one the Lord has designed for us. And of course, we can continue to remember those that are seeing to Peggy. I don't know if this is the time for her graduation or the Lord's going to raise her up, but either way, we're in the Lord's hands, aren't we? We can pray that the Lord will strengthen and give His peace above all things. Praise the Lord. Seems like I feel my age the further I go along. I'm not one that wears T-shirts, and I can't remember if I have mentioned this one here or not, so forgive me if I have, but I saw one that would be very appropriate. It's weird being the same age as old people. But anyway, the Lord is so faithful to us, isn't He? As long as He has us here. Well, I finished reading Job in my regular reading, and I'm back in Abraham's life and the other things that follow in Genesis. And I read something the other day that kind of jumped out at me in an unusual way. It's a simple little thought. It's in Genesis 25 as a place to start. But it kind of triggered a line of thinking that I feel like is certainly nothing new in one sense, and yet I feel like the Lord wants to shine a light on it for all of us. And this is the occasion of Isaac is now come into the center of the picture. Abraham was still alive, but he was an old man, and the story shifts to Isaac. You remember how the Lord called Abraham, or Abram as he was known then, out of a heathen background and sent him by faith to the land of Palestine, made all kinds of wonderful promises to him. The greatest was that in his seed all nations of the world, of the earth, would be blessed, and put him through all kinds of tests of his faith, and his faith was continually in God's promises, even to the point, we've mentioned recently, when the Lord asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac, his only son, the very one that he'd promised, on an altar. He actually got to the point where his son was tied up and on the altar, and he was reaching for the knife. And the Lord stopped him right there. You ever been in a place where the Lord's kind of tested you and then said, all right, I see that you're willing? And I appreciate the Lord's demonstration of what real faith is in Abraham. And so we come into Isaac's life and we see that certainly he was there on that occasion, wasn't he? And he knew all about the promises that had been made to Abraham and the hope and the heritage that was going to come through his line. And you remember how Abraham sent his servant to get to Isaac a wife, and how the Lord led him in such a distinct way. What an example of honoring the Lord and desiring His will, and at the same time trusting Him to work it out. And you see that play out in that instance where Rebekah comes into the picture. So now we come to the point where Isaac, in verse 20, Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Paddan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Then it says this, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. And you go on in the story there, and you find out that Isaac was now 60 years old. So what's happened is, here he is heir to the promises that God had made to Abraham. And he marries a wife, and the promise is, in your seed all nations of the world will be blessed. And now 20 years go by, and his wife doesn't have a child. And what happens is not just, okay, God promised this, I don't have to worry about it. It was, he prayed. He literally went to God about the promise, and God answered his prayer. Now, somehow that, you could look at this and say, well, God has a purpose. He's purposed from all eternity. He's going to work it out. Don't have to worry about it. What's for breakfast? You know, and just kind of go on about our way. But yet there's a reason why God recorded this. Somehow there was a missing link in the unfolding of God's purpose, in which God was wanting Isaac to exercise himself in faith and literally go to God on behalf of what God had already revealed that he was going to do. And then God answered the prayer. In other words, the growing of this line, the extension of that line that came out of Abraham's loins, wasn't going to happen without a certain action on the part of Isaac. And I believe there's a lesson there that the Lord wanted to bring to my attention. We can rejoice all we want to in the purposes of God that we hear unfolding, but there is a place where prayer is the critical missing link, if you will. That God is looking for our participation. That's a word we have used in the past. I remember many years ago preaching a sermon called Participating in the Purpose of God. But this was critical. Why would God make special reference to this in the account if this wasn't the case? And why would there be 20 years with nothing happening in spite of the fact that God had a purpose and was carrying it out and had promised to carry it out, but nothing was happening? He was looking for something that came out of Isaac's heart that said, God, I need you to fulfill your purpose, and I'm calling upon your name. And the Lord responded to his prayer, and she had children in this case. We know we're not going to particularly focus on the, you know, Jacob and Esau and all of that. But the point is so central that here I believe it's a lesson for us that God wants us to participate in his purpose, and there is something that will not happen unless we join in. Does that make sense? God is looking for things he wants to do that he's promised to do, but in order for them to happen, he desires our participation. He's worked that into his plan, but yet there are things that won't happen until we pray, until we call upon God. And you can go on and see other instances. We know how, in spite of all the natural characteristics of Jacob and how, you know, his personality and how that came out, there was something in Jacob that valued the birthright, that somehow attached value to being Abraham's heir. And God saw that in him and said, okay, there's something I'm going to work with this guy. Aren't you glad that God calls us in our imperfection, knows what to do to change us so that we can become more in tune with his character and his purpose? And so we see that in Jacob. And in spite of how he got where he got, by sort of cheating his brother out of the inheritance, you also see the lack of caring about the inheritance in Esau. He was willing to sell his birthright for a bowl of soup because he was hungry. And so God saw, on the one hand, even despite the method used, he saw a heart that wanted that saw the value in that. And so God began to work in him and arranged for him to travel back to the home country to Laban's household. And on the way, you remember how he prayed, how he met God, as a matter of fact. He lay down at Bethel in chapter 28. I don't want to go through a lot of that. But anyway, he has this dream, and this is where he sees the stairway between earth and heaven and angels ascending and descending. And then there above it stood the Lord, and he said in verse 13, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are living. Your descendants will, or lying, I guess is the word in this translation. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Wow. How would you like to have the Lord speak that to you in a particular instance? That's some powerful words. What a promise that God had. So here he is for sure, the heir to Abraham's promise. And you remember how he went there and he labored 14 years for the two wives that the Lord gave him. Children began to be born. He labored another 6 years and wound up with flocks and herds and servants. And the Lord just made him rich. And then finally told him, it's time to go back. Go back and I'll be with you. But you remember what happened. And this is a chapter we focused on before, and I'll just refer to it in passing. But chapter 32, he gets back and finds out that Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. And he remembers how it was when he left. He left because Esau was threatening to kill him. And so now, all of a sudden, he's got two things that are in seeming opposition. On the one hand, he's got the promise of God and the instruction, go back and I'll be with you. On the other hand, Esau's coming with 400 men. One of the things that I believe God wants us to realize in a deeper way is that God, on the one hand, has a purpose that involves our lives, involves our assembly, involves his people in the earth, but there will always be challenges to that. Satan will always be allowed to challenge and to make it seem like it's not going to happen. I'm coming against this thing and it's not going to happen. And we react far too often with that, with a natural reaction like Jacob all of a sudden did. Whoa. And he refers back and said, Lord, you promised me. And there he's still trying to work it out and trying to, you know, separate everybody and send gifts ahead to his brother. But you remember how it all came down. Everything, he'd done everything he knew. He'd reminded God of his promise. And now toward the end of the chapter, or on in the chapter, verse 24, okay? He'd sent everybody over the stream. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And it's very obvious that this was not just an ordinary man. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You ever been in a situation where, I mean, sometimes we have situations come and we just pray and the Lord just, boom, there's the answer. And other times, we've got to do some fighting. What do you suppose that is? Do you think that's an accident? Do you think maybe the Lord has a purpose in allowing situations to arise where we feel so challenged that our need drives us to a spirit, if you want to call it that, of desperation? Do you see how God is molding us? We talk about being in his hands and being molded, made like he wants us to be. He's got a job on his hands. All I have to do is look in the mirror and know that. He's got a job on his hands changing me into what he wants me to be. And sometimes it comes to a place where I know what he wants, but all the circumstances seem so desperate, so against that. And all I can do is just cry out and just say, oh, God, if this situation is going to be rectified, you're going to have to do it. And I am not quitting in this fight. I am not giving up. Do you see how something is being formed in me when I do that? It's not like, okay, God, your will is going to happen. I don't have to worry about it. So I just cruise along through life and you're going to work everything out. I think it's sometimes awfully easy to fall into that trap. I'm so glad we quote so many times, and rightly so, the scripture where the Lord says that he's going to finish what he started. That's the paraphrase of it. Whatever the work that he started in you, he will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. And isn't it easy just to say, oh, great. You know, then I don't have to worry. Everything's in his hands, and I'm just going to go through my life, go through my day. What's for lunch, by the way? You know. Or do you suppose that we have a participation in the outworking of all of that he's doing? And that's the thing that just the Lord got my attention with that. It's like there's things that he wants to do that's not going to happen unless we participate. How many of you remember? I'm not going to go and read it all, but you can read Daniel 9, the beginning of it particularly, where Daniel the prophet, remember he was over in, he was carried as a young man into Babylon, served the king there, and then the Medes and the Persians came in and ended the Babylonian Empire, and they had their own empire, and there he is still over there. And there came a point where somehow he came into possession of the prophecy that God had given through Jeremiah. And the prophecy basically said there are 70 years that God has determined concerning Jerusalem. Yes, it was destroyed. Yes, it was punished for its many decades or many centuries of sin. There was a judgment that was poured out, but it's 70 years. And so all of a sudden he's saying, I see that God has already declared his purpose through his prophet Jeremiah. Now, couldn't Daniel have just said, oh, great, 7 years is about up. We don't have to worry about that. We know how this is going to turn out. What did he do? He went to some serious fasting and prayer. Do you suppose there's a reason for that? Or was he just going through a spiritual exercise? Was there a connection between God, Daniel reading that, knowing God's purpose, and then going to God in prayer about it? Was that an accident? Was that without purpose? I don't think so. Because God records that in great detail. He repents on behalf of the nation and the people. He declares God's justice in punishing Jerusalem and the judgment that he poured out. But then he reminds God of his promises and said, oh God, I'm just entreating you on behalf of Jerusalem. Lord, restore. Lord. And the Lord did, didn't he? I wonder how many things the Lord wants to accomplish here. And he's looking for us to absolutely sign on to his purposes, to be so in tune with him that we can understand what he wants and then exercise a faith to see that happen. I believe with all my heart there are things that God wants to do. You know, I thought about another couple of examples that we see in the Scripture. We know the prophecies of the Old Testament were so clear that there was a Savior coming. There was a Redeemer coming. And there was a remnant of people. When the time came, who were looking for this, who were actively engaged in praying and looking to God about it. One of them was a man named Simeon. And remember when Jesus was born and they went into the temple? And there he was, and he came, and I think he took him in his arms and gave a word of thanks and prophecy. Said, now you can let my servant depart in peace, because God had said, you're not going to die until you see him. But he was there every day looking to God, praying and asking God for the fulfillment of his word. And then you have Anna, the same thing. She spent all of her time in the temple praying. Well, if God is sovereign and he's already said what he's going to do and he's going to do it, what's the connection? Why do we have to pray? Something to think about, isn't it? What's the difference? What difference does that make? And I thought about, let's see, trusting the Lord to kind of order the steps of my thoughts here. But there's a way that God accomplishes his purpose. Going back to the very beginning, when he was creating, how did he create? Well, yeah, but who spoke? It was his son, wasn't it? God had a purpose in his heart that he'd set in motion. But in order for that to happen, there was somebody through whom he spoke. And Jesus, in a sense, became, or the one who later became Jesus, became a channel through which the very life and the creative power of God flowed. I could stand here all day and say, let there be light, and there wouldn't be any light. I don't have power in myself to create anything. But somebody who is connected to God has power to move in the will and the purpose of God and to speak things, and boy, it's divine power that goes forth and it happens, and the creation happened. When Jesus was on earth, how many times have we used this in different contexts? But was he not a channel of God? How did he do what he did? The Father was in him doing his work. And so there was a union between himself, between Jesus and his Father, that was such that, number one, he knew what the Father wanted him to do. And number two, he depended on him to do it. He was obedient to do it. But when he did it, there was divine power that went through him that healed the sick or spoke words that had life in them. Whatever it was, it wasn't him anymore doing it. It was the Father in him doing his work. Is there a picture of the kingdom of God and how God does things that maybe we need to understand in a deeper way? I feel like I do. You know, we can do all the right things. We can say all the right things. But unless there's power in it, unless there's divine power, what good is it? Okay? In other words, I could stand here and say, I'm just trusting God's in this morning. Is he? I mean, is this something we need? Yeah. But I could stand here and say all of the right things because I learned them in school, I studied them, and I read them out of the Bible, and the words are true, and I could gear up all my natural ability and say it, and nothing would be accomplished for the kingdom of God. All I'm doing is communicating ideas person to person. But if I'm doing something because God called me to do it and because God is enabling me to do it and I'm consciously yielding myself to him, then there's life that flows. It's more than words. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. I believe that's something that God longs to do for every single member of the body of Christ. Is that what we live and what comes out of us is not just us trying to be Christians and trying to act like we're supposed to do it, executing formulas for Christian living and all that kind of stuff. We need to be living supernatural lives. There are things God longs to accomplish, and he wants us to be participants in that in a deeper way. And prayer is very central to that. I feel like I know so little about it. I know things in theory, but there's so much more that I believe God wants to teach me about prayer. Anybody here that needs to know more about it? I mean, what do you think about when you think about prayer? Well, I need something, so I'm going to ask him. Do you think maybe there's a little more to it than that? When Jesus was carrying out his ministry, one of the central things was he spent a lot of time alone with the Father in prayer. Now, why would he need to do that? What's the connection? Why would he need to go out and pray like that? Yeah, well, to know the Father's will, to establish the connection, because if the Father's going to do it in him, he needed to know what to do, but there needed to be this conscious, I'm willing to do your will. I'm here for that reason. I'm not here to do my own will. There's this constant overcoming of the limitations of living in these bodies that don't want to go along with him. Those are things that need to be overcome. But here I am, called to live a supernatural life, to have God living in me in such a way that when people encounter me, they are encountering him. Man, there's a lot that's got to happen in my life that's going to happen to any degree. And prayer is so central to that. I just pray that God will help me to understand how critical prayer is to the purposes of God. You know, I thought about simple illustrations. One of them would be if you're out in the yard and you've got a piece of a tool or something, a power tool, and it's the kind that you had to plug in. You ever been out in the yard, some the other end of the yard, and you get ready to do something and you pull the button trigger and nothing happens? Yeah, if you've ever been out with a power tool, you've had that happen. So what do? Well, you follow the cord back, and maybe this is an extension. Then you check that connection. Then you check to where it's plugged in. It's a very simple illustration. But if I'm going to do something with a tool, it's great to be willing to do it, to want to do it, and to pick it up and walk out there and try to say I'm clipping bushes or whatever I'm doing. That's great, but what good is it if I'm not connected to any power? Nothing's going to happen. See, the problem, there's no lack of power back at the house, unless it's December 7th or 6th or whatever it was. There's no lack of power at the house, and here I am with a tool willing to use it. What's the problem? There's a connection that's broken. Do you think that, do we understand that there are times when God wants to do something, wants us to do something, and the absolute missing link is prayer, where we get connected to God in such a way that what happens is not us, it's not I, but it's Christ living in me. The words that I speak and so forth. So that's one illustration. Another one that I have used in the past, I remember preaching on prayer many, many years ago now, and I think it was called God's Fireman. And in that illustration, you have this picture of a fire. There's a need, okay? And there's a fireman who goes, and what does he do? He's got a hose, and the idea is to spray down that water, the fire with water that's supposed to cool it down and make the fire go out, okay? So you've got a fireman who's willing to do it. You've got a hydrant that's nearby that's full of water. But what good would it do if he goes out there and says, I know what to do, and he just waves the hose around? But it never gets connected to the source of water. That's the missing link, I believe, in so much that we do, that God would teach us how to move in the Spirit, how to be connected to what he wants, how to have his power at work in things. Yeah, knowing his will, but then stepping out and doing it. I mean, there's so many illustrations, I guess, in the scriptures, but I just pray that God will somehow get this thought across to me. I feel my weakness, but, you know, God's promised, hasn't he? That his strength is made perfect in weakness. If this is what it takes, if my feeling weak is what it takes to minister something to you, then praise God. Isn't that how Jesus looked at the cross? I mean, he prayed like I would pray, oh God, I need more strength. But Jesus prayed, oh God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me so I don't have to go through this. Nevertheless, what's the bottom line? Not my will, but yours be done. The focus of his life was not the affairs of this life. It was seeking God and doing what his purpose was and fulfilling his place in that purpose. Do you know that every member of the body of Christ has a place? Do you know that every single member of the body of Christ is meant to be a vessel through which God absolutely works and speaks and accomplishes something? You know, so much of our prayers, I think it's sincere, and I think God is merciful. When we rightly ask if we have needs, like Paul, when he had that thorn in the flesh, God didn't rebuke him for asking. But there had to come a time when God revealed the purpose of that, and when God did, Paul stopped asking to get rid of it. He said, praise God, I get it now. I wonder if we're willing to do that. There's nothing wrong with praying and asking God about earthly needs, but even in that, I see Paul not thinking about just earthly welfare. What was the reason where Paul prayed that in the first place? Did he not see that harassment by a spirit as something that is hindering my work? God has called me to work for him, and this is getting in the way, and oh God, get rid of it. So even in that, his motive was right. But here we are, heirs of the eternal covenant. We are heirs of that which will take us beyond this world into the kingdom of God. And we are not just creatures. When God wanted to do something among the animal kingdom, he didn't consult the head rabbit or the head of any particular group of animals and say, here's my purpose, help me, you know, I've got a purpose in you fulfilling this. He just did it. But folks, we're not like that. We're not just animals. We're not just pieces on a chessboard, as we've said many times. We are meant to be his sons and daughters. We are meant to have a relationship with Him that is like His Son. When God wanted to do something through His Son, there was a relationship. He was plugged in. He was connected. He became a channel of God's life and purpose. That was the whole reason for His existence. Folks, is that not the reason why we're here? Are we simply here to live an earthly life and focus all of our attention on its needs? Or are we here to say, God, I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. Lord, if it was just a matter of getting me out of here into heaven, You would just take me on as soon as I say yes to Jesus. But no, I'm here. It's a time for me to learn Your ways, to become like You. But in the meantime, I'm here where You want me to live like Jesus, in a sense. Didn't Jesus say, as the Father has sent me, so send I you? Well, how did the Father send Him? Again, the Father anointed Him, called Him, gave Him the ability to do what fulfilled God's purpose, His part in that. But every member of the body of Christ, if we are connected to Him, if He lives on the inside, our purpose is not just to have a sweet life here. And every time we have a little problem, we go to God and, you know, we go to the divine vending machine and try to pray a formula prayer, oh God, fix it. Oh God, get us beyond that. He cares about needs, absolutely. But why are we asking? You know, my mind, as soon as I read that passage about Isaac, my mind went to James. What is it, James 4? Scripture we've used many times. When it talks about, beginning of the chapter, he talks about what was causing difficulties and trouble among the people. But he says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Okay? I wonder how many things that are part of the covenant of God that God has said belong to us, belong to me. And there's something that I don't have. I'm not experiencing. He says it in His Word. Jesus provided it. He's provided everything that we need, hasn't He? But I don't have it. Why? Why don't I have it? Do you see where there's a disconnect right here? Are there not things that just as Isaac went to God, no doubt with this in his mind, here I am 20 years in, I've married this beautiful woman, and we have no son, and You have promised that through our seed all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. And there came a time when he said, oh God, please fulfill Your word. Please give us a child. And God listened, and He did it. I wonder how many times God is waiting for us, and we're waiting on Him, or we're somehow expecting this. He's going to work in us till that day. All I have to do is sit back, go about my life, and He's going to somehow do it. I wonder how many things God has literally given to us in Christ that He wants us to come and say, oh God, You have brought me face to face with a need in my life, but I have every right to go to You and ask that You would help me in this area. I wonder how many things that we face and needs that we just sort of blow off, or we just say, oh, that's me, or whatever. And God wants to do something special for us. There are things that God longs to do in your life and mine. We don't even care enough to ask Him. It's not important enough to us. Or we don't understand. Do you see where there's this missing connection? I just pray that God will somehow show us what this is about. I don't know how to say this in such a way, but God, You're going to have to get this across to me. Start with me, Lord. I need this. There are things, there are needs that I come up against in my life. Do I not have the right to go to God just like Jacob did and say, I will not let You go until You help me? I need help, Lord. You promise. This is your word. I'm not going to you about something that is that I don't have a right to. It's not like I'm asking for $1 million and a mansion and some earthly blessing. I'm asking God that you promise that I'm going to be like you, and I see these things in me that aren't. Oh, God, help me. Give me grace to grow. Help me to experience more of what you have given to me, what Jesus died to give me. Do these things belong to us or don't they? Do you suppose many times this is what the problem is? We don't have because we don't ask? And of course, we can do a lot of asking that's just basically so that we can feed natural desires, and that's no good. But God is looking for the hearts of people who will say, God, I get it. You've called me out of the world. You've changed my entire focus, the focus of my heart and my life, and I want to be on board with that. But not only do I want to be on board, I want to be an active participant. There are things that you long to accomplish that are part of the fulfillment of this purpose that are on me, in a sense. You want me to literally step into the gap and exercise myself in calling upon your name for the fulfillment of that. And that's the missing connection. Okay? You know, one scripture let me just use this, just refer to this one. You can read in 1 John chapter 5. This is the promise that we have of him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, so we know that God has a will, God has a purpose. And if we ask anything according to that purpose, he'll hear us. He'll listen. So if I ask for $1 million and a mansion, that's probably not going to be part of his plan. But if I ask him to help me to find and fulfill my place in the body of Christ and to have his mind and to know what he wants me to do and to have faith to do it, do I have the right to ask that? Does every person here who belongs to Jesus Christ have the right to ask that? Is it his will? Yes. So then what does he say? And if we know that it's according to his will, we know that we have it. That's right. Thank you. At least somebody's looking up the scripture. We know that we have what we desired. If we're asking according to his will, then we know that. God, help us to have that sense. Lord, you do actually have a plan for my life. I'm not just somebody who sits on a pew and I'm unimportant. You matter. You and I, everyone, have a place to fulfill. When God created the world, his Son filled that place all by himself. That's all it took. Let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. And God's power flowed. But there is power that God wants to release among us, through us, to one another, into our individual lives. There's things he wants to do that he has planned to do. And part of that plan is to get us to be able to go to God with faith and with determination and with focus and literally bombard heaven and say, Lord, this is what you promised. And I'm not letting you go until you do this, until you help me, until you help my brothers and sisters. Does this make any sense? Is this needed? Praise God. Praise God. I thought of something that a scripture that we use so many times, and I want to focus on one part of it that we sometimes make mention of. But I want to look at Ephesians 6 and the armor of God. You know, we talk about the armor itself, the helmet and the shield and all of those things. As important as they are, it goes on down in verse 18. It doesn't stop with that. And actually, I think the translators of this particular translation wanted to make a paragraph out of this, so they turned praying in the Spirit into a verb, into an active verb instead of a participle. You know what a participle is? It continues a thought. And I think other translations will say praying in the Spirit. So in other words, we fight, but there's something that's going on while we're doing all of this. We're not just doing all the right stuff. There is a source of power that's coming in. We're plugged in other words. It's one thing to stand there and have all these pieces of armor and fight and lift the word up, but we have to have this. If we're not plugged in, we're like that tool that's out there on the other end of the yard. Nothing happens. God wants to power our lives with His Spirit. Okay? And so it says, and praying, I'm going to translate that a little closer, and praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, the Lord just focused my attention on that in the Spirit. Because praying, again, is not just some kind of formula. It's not like something where you can say, all right, how do you do this? Okay, here are the things you're supposed to say. And if you just say this, it's like a divine vending machine. If I do it, I'll do it just right and push the right button, then out will pop the blessing. There is a connection. Did Jesus do that, do you think? Were his prayers focused on self? They were entirely focused on the reason why he was here. And he found out what the Father wanted him to do. He was aligned with that purpose, and he stepped out in faith, and God's power flowed through him to accomplish what his purpose was. That's what God has called us to, every single one of us. Now, there isn't a single one of us that has the same role that he does, but we all have one. We all have a place. And so, but praying in the Spirit, that word in is a preposition that is meant to convey something. And in is kind of vague. It's almost like that's a place. What does that mean? But the word in the Greek also can convey the idea of agency. That is, how does it happen? So we're not just praying in the Spirit, we're praying by the Spirit. In other words, I need God's Spirit to power my prayer. Does that make sense? If I'm just doing it and it's me, my thoughts, my efforts, my energy, and that's all there is to it, am I really praying? Or am I just going through a form? How many of us feel like we need to ask God to teach us about this? Yeah. Lord, teach me how to, not just how to say the right words, but what is this thing called prayer about? Because if it's just me doing it, but even, it's like everything in the kingdom of God, I'm meant to be a vessel, a channel through which God flows, but this is a pretty important one. What he's saying is even prayer itself is something where I need God to anoint me to guide what I pray and to empower what I pray so the words can actually go forth and do something. And again, you have the difference between a fireman who just stands there waving a hose and one who's actually connected to the hydrant and there's really something coming out. I want something coming out when I pray, don't you? Are we just supposed to go through a form and somehow, you know, it's easy to say, well, what difference does it make? But God has absolutely ordered his kingdom, so it makes a difference when we pray. And God wants there to be divine power, just as when the words that came out of Jesus' mouth, let there be light, when he said, you know, rise and be healed, or whatever he said, there was power that came out of it. God wants power to come out of us. He can teach us those things to where we can be so in tune with him and such a vessel that we can literally pray and see something happen. We could pray and power would happen and something would happen on the other side of the world. There's no distance, there's no limitation in God. But I wonder how many times there's something that God wants to do and he can't find anybody to make that connection. Because there's a way that God does stuff. It's not just he's out there somehow magically doing everything. He wants us participating, being involved. So listen to some of what he says here. Okay? Praying in the Spirit, by the Spirit. That's where the power comes from. That's where we know what to pray for. That's where we have the energy to actually go out and make a difference. We're literally expressing the Spirit of God in what we're saying on all occasions. So that's just not some special occasion. This is all kinds of needs, every situation. With what? All kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So here it isn't just praying for me. Yes, it is praying for me. God, help me. I need your strength. I need your anointing. I need you to teach me your ways. Lord, bring me to a place where I can do this. But my life is just not about me and my welfare. My life is meant to serve others. It's meant to be just like Jesus was. He wants to pour his life through me to help somebody else. Isn't that kind of God's nature? Is it all about him or is it about us? Isn't that what Jesus did? He gave everything for you and for me. And then you see that nature reproduced in Paul in such great measure. Where everything he did, I mean, he was fine with him, whatever he had to go through, as long as he could help God's people. Was that just for special ones, or is that every single person in the body of Christ? He wants us to care about others, but to realize that you have that the power that God has given to us to make a difference. Do you know that you can make a supernatural difference in somebody else's life? That God wants us to be able to do that? You know, I believe in a measure, God has taught us many things, but there's a reason he's wanted to emphasize this right now. There are so many needs. There are so many things that he's shown us that we know are his will. His expression in so many ways through the body of Christ, raising up a generation that will carry on and really have the vision and be anointed of God, be empowered to do his work in the earth and whatever his purpose is in this particular dark hour. Every day we see things getting crazier and crazier in the world. But God has called us, as we said so many times, to live in such an hour. But he wants you to realize that he's got you here for a reason, and it's not just to endure. There's so much more to it than just enduring and getting through and surviving and getting to the other side. God wants every one of his children to literally come to a place where we can be so connected to God that he can work through us and literally go out and change somebody else's destiny, change their life. Yes, it might be just a brother and sister who needs special strength right now. We know to pray for them. We believe God will work. But do we really have the sense that God has called me, put me in a place right now? I have a brother or sister and they're in great need. They need you, Lord. Okay, so Lord, what's the plan? The plan is for you to get alone, to call upon God, and expect that God is going to lead you and empower you, and there's a stream of life that's going to flow over to that person, enter their spirit, and absolutely make a difference. Is this the truth? What a privilege we have. May God open our eyes to see. He wants every single one of us to do that. Praying for all the Lord's people. Okay? It's interesting to me that the focus isn't here on praying for my needs even. It's praying for somebody else and being used of him to share God's power and God's spirit to make a difference in their lives. But listen to what he goes on to say. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Surely that's just a form we go through. We're supposed to say those kind of words, but what difference does it really make? I mean, God's called this man. Jesus revealed himself to him. He's powerful servant of God. God's anointed him. What difference does it actually make for me to utter up words, say, oh God, bless and strengthen Paul? Isn't that going to happen anyway? Wouldn't that be kind of like going back to the beginning? Isaac just sort of presuming that God's going to fulfill his word without him bothering to get involved? No. There comes a time when the effectiveness of ministry depends not on the minister, obviously as a part, but depends upon others who absolutely can inject life and power and effectiveness And that goes for every function of the body of Christ. Does this matter? Is this important? Yeah, it matters. You have as much to do with what happens up here as I do. Do we need to be calling on God to reveal His purposes? There's so many things over the years that God has shown us about the end of the age and about our purpose in it. And I don't want to ever see this work just become a tradition that upholds those ideas and those doctrines and goes out and proclaims them as doctrine. We need to enter in by faith to what God has. And the only way I know to do is to seek Him and say, God, we don't know what to do. Show us what our place and purpose is right now. Show us what we need to know. We're not asking you to give us all the answers and answer all of our curious questions, but God, there's a reason why we're here. Just like Jesus, we go out and say, okay, Lord, here we are. Here's what's happening now. Lord, I just call upon You. I want to be in harmony with You. I want to be plugged in. And I want to know what that means. I want to know what that power is meant to flow through me to accomplish. And I'm going to take what You've given me in Your Word, but I wanted to get specific. I want it not just to be general, this is the general idea of what You're going to accomplish, but Lord, what do You have for me today? What do You have? What is there right now that You want to literally express through my heart and through my life so that it makes an eternal difference? Every single member of the body of Christ is called to this. Just as much as God's Son was called in the creation. We're part of the new creation. See, we were created in the image of God. We weren't just like the animals. He wants us to grow up to be just like His Son. He's going to put a brand new creation in our charge. We got some changing that needs to happen. If we're going to literally be expressing the power and the will of God in creative ways, oh my God, we can do that right here today. We can pray for one another. And not just go through the form, okay, I'm supposed to pray, all right, Lord bless them. But to really come to a place where say, God, I need You to teach me what this means so that I can make, my prayer is actually power. Again, that's the difference between standing up here and giving words that have no power in them and having words that do have life in them. You have the same place that anyone does. God wants what comes out of you and what comes out of me to be Him. Amen. And I believe with all my heart He's teaching us that. And that's what the purpose, the plan, the privilege that we have. I can't get away from this thought. How many things that the Lord desires to do where we're the missing connection? It's a sobering thought, isn't it? God knows from the end from the beginning, and He's going to get His work done one way or the other. You remember what the word was to Esther? God's put you in a certain place, such a time as this. And if you don't do it, God's going to raise up deliverance for somebody else. I don't want it to be somebody else. If God has called us to a particular place, He's gathered us together, I want to fulfill the purpose for which He did that in the first place. And that means we need to be connected to Him, everyone. It's not like you just come in here and say, oh, Lord, bless Phil or bless whoever speaks. Yeah, I want you to do that. But, oh, God, we need to cry out and say, God, we need Jesus to come. We need His power. We need God's Spirit to flood this place, to change hearts, to change lives, to teach us how to be used of You in this dark world. And that's an ongoing process of learning. It's not some magic prayer we pray and then it's all done. Or don't come down to the altar and get it all. This is a day-by-day thing. Because this praying in the Holy Ghost that he talks about, or praying in the Spirit in Ephesians 6, is a present tense, ongoing thing. In other words, this is a description of life. Yes, there's warfare that has to be fought because the devil is allowed to oppose God's purpose. But God has put us in a place where we have every right to go to Him based upon His promise and say, Lord, we're standing, we're believing Your promise, and we're going to do whatever fighting it takes to stand upon Your promise and see it happen. We change, we grow, God's purpose. God has vessels to flow through. I thought of an old hymn. I don't think I could quote it. I looked it up a while ago, but hadn't thought about this in decades. But channels only. And somebody had the sense that what God has called us to be is channels. That it's not about living for self, it's about laying down our lives and giving them to Him. For what purpose? So that He can be, we can be a channel. We can literally be connected to Him, but not just so that we are bathed in blessing, but so that through others, through us, others can be touched and helped. That's God's call upon every member of the body of Christ, every member of His kingdom. I just call upon myself, but all of us to pray and say, God, teach us what this is about. Help us to join, to be connected to You, to be so in tune with You that we're not just not living earthly lives and trying to get You to fix our problems. We want to see beyond that. Well, if I have a brother and sister in need of strength and spirit, You've given me the power to speak words that are not just wishes that we throw out into the universe and hope God's listening. I'll tell you, when we have to wrestle in prayer, it's not because God is unwilling. It's because God wants us to exercise faith. God wants us to exercise determination. God wants us to call upon Him with all of our hearts and look to Him for His answers. But anyway, I just pray that God will somehow burn this into my heart as I need it, probably worse than anybody here. It's so easy just to say, oh, prayer, we know all about that. Do we? Do we know much of anything about it? Do we realize that you and I, if we're hooked up with God and He is empowering us, He's guiding what we pray, but He's empowering what we speak, do we not realize that those words have power? That they can literally go out and change circumstances, destinies. They could empower someone who has a ministry. They're just as important as the minister. That every person in the body of Christ can contribute to the health of the whole and the purpose of our reaching out and being alive. Every purpose that has to do with God's kingdom. Every person here has the power to be connected to God and has a place that God has called you to. And He wants you and me to be His channels. Channels only. What a privilege that is. May God help us. And I believe He is, don't you? I believe He loves us with an everlasting love. But I don't want anything to not happen because I was just too busy messing around, assuming He's going to take care of it all. He wants me involved. Praise God. Missing link. I don't know if that's a good title or not, because that's the general connotation of that. But that isn't that bad, is it? A missing link? Well, the missing link is a people who are willing to call upon God and to do it by the power of His Spirit. We have creative power that God wants to give us. It's not just us wishing things. It's God carrying out His work in the earth. And He wants you and me to be part of it. Praise God.